Moments later, she stood once more in the shadow of the stack of lubricant barrels beside Monarch's permacrete dome. She knew she didn't have much time. Though C-3PO walked comparatively slowly, it wasn't all that far from here to the ship. She hefted an empty container. It was, in fact, almost empty. Perhaps half a liter of fluid sloshed inside. She set that barrel aside for the moment. With Angie shadowing her steps, she carried two others and set them side by side 5 meters from the shop's front doors, then brought forward the first one she'd picked up. Once she was adjacent to the others, she uncapped the container, upended it with the awkwardness inevitable when a child manipulates an object light enough to carry but too big to handle easily, and poured its contents out on the other barrels. Then she set this barrel beside them. Now to commit a crime. She hesitated a moment, because she was sure it would be a crime. But it was also the right thing to do. And whenever Han had to choose between obeying the law and committing a crime for the right reason, he committed the crime and said that it was because Leia made him do it for the right reason. Alana nodded, satisfied with that logic. She pointed at the door beside the shop, then whispered to Angie,
"Go sit."
Angie cocked her head and twitched her whiskers.
"Don't play stupid with me,"
Alana warned.
"I know how smart you are."
Angie contemplated Alana's outstretched arm for a moment, blinked a couple of times, and trotted off, then stopped about halfway to the door and turned around to wait. Alana sighed. It would have to do. From her pocket, she brought out the tiny welder she'd borrowed from the Falcon's tool locker. She'd seen Han use it several times for minor tasks, but never for arson. She ignited it and held its flame to the liquid she'd poured out over the barrels. In moments, they were ablaze. She switched off the welder, collected Angie, then ran to stand beside the doors into the shop and kicked them several times, which resulted in a loud metallic banging. Then she crouched down, pulling the garment's dark hood over her head and wrapping Angie under her arm. There was no response. She watched the fire growing on the barrels and wondered if it would burn itself out or perhaps be snuffed by a neighbor before Monarch ever noticed. She wondered if Monarch was even in his shop. Perhaps she should have peered into his window again before trying this. But no, that would give C-3PO enough time to catch up to her and stop her. Then, the doors swung outward. The one nearest Alana hit her, not hard, and pressed her and Angie up against the rough permacrete surface of the dome exterior. Angie bent her legs, gathering herself to jump on the man, but Alana dug her fingers into the Nexu's fur, holding her back. Through the gap between the door and jamb, she saw Monarch standing in his doorway as if thunderstruck. Then the man said a word that Han never, ever would use if he thought Alana was around. He turned and dashed back into his shop. Alana frowned, unhappy. That hadn't worked right. He was supposed to run outside and hop up and down near the fire. Monarch dashed out through the doorway, carrying objects in his hands. Alana thought she recognized one of them as a fire extinguisher, but he was visible in the gap for only a fraction of a second, so she could not be sure. She scooted sideways and peered around the door. Sure enough, Monarch was holding a fire extinguisher, and she heard its chuff as he began spraying its foamy contents across her fire. He was also looking around, paying as much attention to his surroundings as to the fire. And in his other hand was a blaster pistol. Alana gulped. But as Monarch moved around the burning pile, as he turned his face away from her, and only his eye patch was visible, Alana dashed around the door and into his shop, still clutching Angie's fur so the Nexu would stay with her, then immediately ducked to one side so he could not see her through the open doorway. The shop was as she remembered from the other night, alive with the rolling and scooting little mechanic droids. All had trays of parts and tools incorporated into their bodies just above the wheel level, and some carried more in their hands as well. The droids did not react to her presence. Dominating the center of the dome was the yacht. It was now a fiery yellow-orange. Its many hull dents either pounded out or made hard to detect by the new color scheme. The yacht was far too big to have been brought in through the doorway Alana had used, but the shop had a larger sliding door at the far end, directly ahead of the yacht's bow. Over against the far wall, not far from the door and beside a desk and computer console, was the blanketed mound Alana recalled. She led Angie over to it, keeping a wary eye back toward Monarch, making sure they never moved fully within his sight. As they reached the desk, the smell of fresh-brewed calf, strong as a Wookiee, assailed her nose and drove away the odors of paint and fuels. Monarch's cup was there on the desk, just poured and steaming. She lifted the edge of the blanket, draping what had to be her droid friend. And it was. R2-D2 stood there, silent, unmoving, his indicators unlit.
R2?
Alana's voice was almost too faint for her to hear. Was he dead? At least as dead as droids could be? Then she saw the restraining bolt plugged into the droid's torso. Of course he couldn't wake up or answer. Monarch was stealing him. He had to keep the droid quiet so he could flush the droid's memory and reprogram him. Alana grabbed the restraining bolt and tugged at it. Her small fingers slipped from the rounded piece of metal. She grabbed and yanked again, more fiercely, with the same result. Desperate, she looked back over her shoulder out the doors. Monarch was still in sight, his back to the dome. The fire was out. The fire extinguisher was at his feet, and his blaster pistol was in his hand. He looked back and forth, his posture suggesting that he was very, very angry.